Football on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.
Welcome back to Thursday's Off the Ball. Well, as always, at this time on a Thursday, delighted to be joined on the line by John Giles. Evening, John.
Evening, Nathan.
So a lot's changed since we last spoke to you. Arsene Wenger has decided to leave Arsenal. We'll chat about that in a few minutes' time. But first, really got to start with the Champions League and Liverpool's 5-2 win over Roma. The couple of goals at the end, obviously, take the gloss off it a tiny bit. But I guess we do need to bow down and go, Liverpool were 5-0 up at home in a Champions League semi-final. Have you ever seen anything quite like it?
No, not in the semi-final, Nathan. As you said there, they lost two goals near the end, which puts, you never know. I mean, it would have been better off 5-0, as we know, rather than 5-2. But they were very, very good again on the night. Salah was excellent. He scored two terrific goals and made the other two. So he really earned his corn on the night. And, funny enough, Roma started off quite well, Nathan, and then Liverpool got a grip of it and got at their defence, which was very, very poor at times, I think, without taking anything away from Liverpool. But Liverpool made the most of it, particularly Salah.
Liverpool were obviously forced into the change when Oxlade-Chamberlain went off and Wijnaldum came on, and it was shortly after that they really started to gain control in the match. Was that an important enforced substitution? Did that have an effect on the advantage that Liverpool took?
I don't think so, Nathan. I think it's the way Liverpool are. You know, Klopp is, you know, we've talked about a lot, go, 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 man. He doesn't control the game. You know, like, it's very difficult to explain it. You know, I think when you're in a situation like that, you have, well, most teams have a midfield player. Like in the old days, it was Graeme Souness who could control the game from there. In other words, they were never going to concede a goal, Nathan, you know, that they'd play it in a certain way. Once you've got that 4 or 5 nil lead, there's a way of playing it after that. Now, he took Salah off, but I think with Liverpool, it's still go, 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 but obviously leaves yourself more open at the back. So I don't think it was a substitution. It's just the way they are, and you have to live with that. I mean, I watched the match in the previous week against West Brom when they were winning 2-0 and winning quite comfortably, and they finished up drawing 2-2, Nathan. Now, Klopp after the match was complaining about the water, the pitch not being watered and all that. But the fact is, they defended very, very badly in that game. The defence the other night wasn't good. But the rest of the game, you'd have to say, was excellent. And they should do it now. But they do leave the door open a little bit for Roma to come back, as they did against Barcelona, maybe.
Salah's goal-scoring record this season is just quite incredible. I don't think even his biggest fans saw this kind of impact in his first season back in English football. What's he got that you like?
Well, he's got a lot, Nathan. First of all, he's very, very quick. He's very, very well-balanced. You know, when you see him getting through, because of his control, well, first of all, he's great control. He's very, very quick. So when he gets through one-on-one with the goalkeeper, Nathan, with lads like him whose control is very, 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 very excellent, in fact, they can forget about the ball. Now, that might sound a bit strange, but they're not concentrating on controlling the ball. Their concentration is, where is the goalkeeper? See, when you're playing football, it's like anything else. You can't think of two things at a time, Nathan. But if your control is very, very good, you can forget about your control and then concentrate on what you have to do next. And he's very, very well balanced, as you say. And I think it's a plus for him coming in on his left foot from the right side. Because once you're coming in on your left foot from the right side, it opens up the goal, like you saw from the first goal the other day. But apart from scoring the goal, it opens it up brilliantly for you on your left foot. That's if you have a left foot like he has. But generally speaking, you see, his control is great, his balance is great. So when he gets through, again, I just repeat myself, and it's a very, very important thing, he doesn't worry about controlling the ball. That's not in his mind. So his mind is elsewhere. Where am I going to put it? Where's the goalkeeper? Where am I going to clip it? So that's what makes him so deadly when he gets through. Like in my day, it's going back a long time, we had a player called Jimmy Greaves. Nathan, you might have heard of him, you might not. Maybe
the
listeners. Greaves was a genius, in bad conditions, but similar, left-footed, making the goals look a mile wide. My first real experience at Jimmy Greaves, we played in the cup semi-final against Spurs. I was playing for Manchester United in 1962. And Danny Blanchflower, another old player, knocked it over the top. And Greaves was through. And like most of the players, I'm chasing back. And I'm looking at Jimmy Greaves on the ball. And the goalkeeper looks, our goalkeeper, looks like he's out of the corner flag, Nathan. And you say, I was running behind him. I say, well, the only place he can put it with the inside of his left foot is there, and the far, which he obviously did. That's what these great players do when they get through. I played with bad strikers as well, not such good strikers, Nathan. And when they get through, the goalkeeper looked about, you know, 50 feet high and 20 feet wide. There's no space to put it in. So I'm only going back to Salah now. When Salah gets through, when you see him, like he's chipping the goalkeeper most of the time. That's because he's inviting the goalkeeper on. His control is the last thing on his mind. Where's the goalkeeper? Why not just stip it in there? And his balance is great, and he's very, very quick. So that, I think that's what makes him the player he is.
Is that control then, and it almost being second nature, and as you say, not really having to think about it, is that something that's always there? It's just part of a player's talent? Or is it something that for a striker, and you mentioned Jimmy Greaves, who had, you know, similar seasons to Mo Salah and probably had more of them than Mo Salah will ever even have, is it just a confidence thing that when they're getting the goals, well, all these things are second nature?
Yeah, I think first of all, it's technique, Nathan. The technique then leads to you scoring the goals, which gives you the confidence. So you can't have, you wouldn't have the confidence if you didn't have the technique. And I'd say from Salah's point of view and Jimmy Greaves' point of view, I'd say they would have this technique from the day they were born.
Right.
Obviously improved it as they went along. It's technique, temperament. Technique breeds the confidence. And when you see it, when you see the players like Salah and Jimmy Greaves and other players, Ronaldo when he's through, Messi when he's through, they make it look easy, Nathan. You think, God, that's the only place he can put it. And make it look easy. That's because of the talent they have, obviously the temperament and the confidence to do it. But they're all rolled into one.
Did Jimmy Greaves have much pace?
Yes. Most of these lads do. The only one I saw without pace who was a great goal scorer was Kenny Dalglish. You know, Messi has it when he gets through. Nobody can catch him. Ronaldo has it when he gets through. Griezmann has it to a lesser extent in today's game. And, you know, they just make the goals look big. They make the goalkeeper look small. And they have this confidence. And Salah, as we can see now, is a master at finishing, especially this season, Nathan. You know, I heard somebody going, I think Rio Ferdinand, you know, said he was the best player on the planet. Well, you know, there's Messi still there, Ronaldo's still there, there's a lot of great players still there who've done it for a number of seasons. And hopefully, from Liverpool's point of view, Salah will do it for a number of seasons.
You mentioned Kenny Dalglish there then, and maybe not having the pace of some of those other strikers you mentioned. What did Dalglish do then to make up for that?
Again, technique. Nathan, his technique was first class. And he played further forward than Salah did. So he had his back to the goal an awful lot. But Kenny was very good, very clever, positional-wise, that when he did receive the ball, he was half-turned. But he could protect the ball well. He could come in behind it. Well, he played with Rush, as you know. Rush was a great goal scorer. But Kenny could get it in and come behind the ball. You know, he wouldn't be an out-and-out striker. He could come deep, deliver the ball, and then get the right position to receive when he came back. But deadly finishing again. And he wasn't quick, funny enough, Kenny, but he made space for himself. But a really, really top-class finisher. Good technique and great confidence in himself.
How much credit then does Klopp get for the signing of Salah, but also the type of players he's gone after to sign? You talk about that go-go-go system, the energy that you need to play in that he's actually been able to go and identify the players who will work in that sort of system.
Yeah, well, I think whoever was scouting for him, or whoever is scouting for him, did him a big turn with Salah. Apparently, now I only read a bit in the paper, he wasn't all that keen on him, Nathan.
Right.
So from what I can gather, anyway, but the scout said, no, go for him. You know, and I had to laugh, one of the paper, the headlines this morning, the paper, you know, they got him at a bargain price of 38 million.
Yeah, that's modern football for you.
I thought it was a lot, because I don't remember him playing for Chelsea. Now, he didn't play a lot for Chelsea. And funny enough, I remember when he played for Chelsea, I thought, that lad looks good. We had no confidence. I think Mourinho didn't fancy him It obviously, it's a few years ago as well. But I think somebody talked Klopp into it. And whoever talked him into it is a good scout, whoever he has. Because to talk a manager into it, you're really putting your head on the line. But whoever did it has certainly come up trumps. Much better, I think, than Liverpool ever expected. Much better than I expected. And most people, you know, he's had a fantastic season. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah,
and being a real credit and a real asset to Liverpool.
Yeah, success has many fathers. I guess there's many people at Liverpool and around Anfield who are looking to claim some of the credit for Mo Salah this season, John. Just before we leave Liverpool, just before we leave Liverpool and leave the Champions League, then from watching Bayern Munich, Real Madrid last night, and the way Liverpool took apart Roma and were able to take apart Manchester City in the previous round. Do you think, regardless of who Liverpool get, providing obviously they can see off Roma in the second leg, that they can go and win this tournament?
Oh, I think they can, Nathan. I think on any given day, Liverpool are capable of beating anybody. But there's a but in it. You know, are they going to do that all the time? Are they going to lose goals when the other teams get at them? Lost two goals the other night, Nathan. I mean, it was a great night for them, but to be losing two goals, you shouldn't be doing it. But that's Liverpool. You know, that they don't have that security. They don't play with that security. I mean, in the old Liverpool team, say with Sinesa was, I don't think they have a real general in the middle of the field. I know they've got Henderson and they've got Milner, who are good-hearted lads, but they don't have anybody that recognises the game is at a particular stage now. Say with 20 minutes ago and you're winning 4-0 or 5-0, you know, the likes of Sinesa could tie that game up in a certain way, Nathan. You know, they always said in football, in my day and everybody's day, you know, goals dictate how the game is going. So if you go, say, 2-0 up, this is my experience, when after 10 minutes, now you have a way of playing. You know, you don't have to go dashing at them. You can control it in a certain way. They have to come dashing at you. So that's when you pick them off from there. Whereas Liverpool Klopp just doesn't work that way. I mean, I described him last year, as you know, as a one-trick pony with a very, very, with a great trick. And that's what he is. He's still the same. And he's not going to change. I wouldn't expect him to change. But there's always that, you know, going great, but what's going to happen? You know, whereas a lot of the other teams that I've known over the years would tie that game up. You could know that nothing was going to happen, you know, to lose goals when you shouldn't be losing them.
Do you get the sense then, watching Liverpool, that maybe that's an area he'll look to target this summer, somebody who can fill that role? Or actually, does he not want that type of player, that he doesn't actually want somebody to ever slow things down because he just wants it 100 miles an hour?
I don't think he does. I think he sees it as go, no matter what the score was, no matter what it is, go all the time. And, it works. It works for him. But, you know, like the great teams that I would consider the great teams in the past, whether it be the Liverpool team, Manchester United with Vidic and Ferdinand, and had this balance of great attackers, which they had, but didn't give much away. I think Liverpool are always capable of, not every match, obviously, because I still think they could win it. They could win it. But it's a roller coaster ride that when they're two or three up, as they've proven. I mean, they were up, you know, lots of matches at 3-0 leads and lose them, Nathan, that I'd never feel secure with them. You know, if I had my money on them to win 4-0 when they were winning 4-0, I wouldn't be going to the bookie too early.
Yeah,
that's the way he is. You know, that's what he has, and he has the courage. There is a certain amount of courage in that, to go and do it. No, go, because that's what I'm telling you to do. This is what I want you to do. And the other night they did do it, and they did it against Manchester City as well. So, but if you look at the Premiership, there's a lack of consistency with them, Nathan. In the Champions League, there's only X amount of matches, which is quite a small amount of matches that you're less likely to be scored against than you have in, say, in the Premiership, where you're playing week in and week out. So they definitely could win it, but you know, Madrid look like they're going to go through. But funny enough, watching the match the other night, the Madrid match, it looks slow motion, Nathan, in many ways, compared to Liverpool at the best there the other night.
Well, Madrid almost in a way are a reflection of what you say all the time about Cristiano Ronaldo, that not a huge amount happens and then they just come alive. And watching them last night, it sort of felt like that they go through the motions for long periods of the game, but then they have these flashes of genius.
Yeah, but they defend better, Nathan. I mean, you have to have Modric playing, which I think is probably maybe the best in the world at what he does. You know, Liverpool don't have anybody like that. I mean, it's going to be fascinating if they meet Madrid, because Liverpool are going to go. Madrid going to be able to handle them and come in at the right time and control the game from then on in? Liverpool don't have a Modric. Maybe he doesn't even want a Modric. I think he would, but he hasn't gone out of his way to get a Modric. There's not many of them around anyway, Nathan. Mm. But there's more balance to Madrid, there's no doubt. They've got Ramos at the back. Their goalkeeper's a bit dodgy as well, but so is Liverpool. So there's more solidity about Madrid if they go through, which I think they will against Bayern Munich.
All right, stick with us, John. We're going to take a quick break. 53106 is the text number. We're going to chat about Arsene Wenger next.
Football on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.
Welcome back to Thursday's Off the Ball. John Giles is still on the line. John, 22 years, Arsene Wenger and Arsenal are going to part ways. 3 titles, 7 FA Cups. Is it the right decision?
It probably is, Nathan. I think he's been pushed. I don't think he's left of his own accord. Looking back at his career, I think he's been a great manager. Definitely been a great manager for Arsenal. And I'd probably, if you were doing it, if I could do it, I would have had him finishing 5 years ago, where he was at the peak of what he did for the club. And obviously, if you stay too long over the last few years, Nathan, where they've won the cups all right, but the supporters have turned on him. And once the supporters turned on you, you have no chance. Mm. So from his own point of view as a manager, I would have preferred him to finish when he was on top. And I think it's sad that a man in his position, having done what he did, is actually being kicked out. I mean, I think they're putting a spin on it now. He's probably getting paid off. But I think he did say yesterday it wasn't his decision.
Yeah, he said the timing wasn't my decision.
I think he's a fanatic. Like, all the great managers are fanatics. And I think he actually loved Arsenal. I don't think he's got much else. No, I don't know, Nathan. But I don't think he's got much else in his life, to be quite honest.
No, I think he admits himself
when
he's
you read
obsessed.
About him, he doesn't have many pals. You know, he's not close to anybody. He got divorced a couple of years ago. And I think his main love was Arsenal. And I think he'd be bitterly disappointed, hurt with this. But I think Arsenal had to make the decision.
When we think of the Wenger legacy, it's of the invincible team. It's of some of the best attacking football and balanced football that we've ever seen in recent times, certainly in the Premier League era.
Yes, yes.
You wouldn't say that about this current Arsenal team or any Arsenal team from the last 5-6 years.
Yeah, but you have to
Where did they lose it?
Yeah, sorry, go on, Nathan.
Where did they lose that?
Well, I'll tell you where they lost it. He made a decision years ago when he was neck and neck with Ferguson at Manchester United. Ferguson decided, never mind the finances, I want the money to buy the best players. That's what he did. Now, Wenger took a different route. He said, I'm going to manage this club. We're going to build a brilliant new stadium, and I'm not going to let this club go into debt. That's what he did. In other words, he insisted for the directors, and it was the director's dream, that, look, we'll have to sacrifice success on the pitch for building this club the way I want to build it, or the way we want to build it. Ferguson would have said, no, I don't care about the finances. I want the players on the pitch. So he kept the supporters happy. Because the supporters don't care about the finances, Nathan. They only want the team to be winning titles, winning cups, and doing all the various things that Manchester United did. So they took two separate routes. So when you see Arsenal as it is today, they've got one of the best stadiums in the world, Nathan, and they never went a penny in debt. Now, that takes a bit of doing, but that was sacrifice for success on the pitch. And the supporters only care about success on the pitch. So they turned on him. But you've got to take that into perspective, what he did. If he'd have spent the money that Ferguson was spending, because don't forget he had a cap on wages and Arsenal lost the best players, couldn't buy the best players, couldn't attract them. That's the route he chose. And from his own point of view as a manager, I think it was a bad route because the supporters turned on him because they weren't getting success. But he was a great manager for the club, there's no doubt about that.
Yeah, thinking long term is not really what managers should be doing, even though it is right and it's prudent. And in many ways, Wenger probably bet on the market going bust and he'd be the man left standing at the top of the hill and he'd be the master of all he surveyed. But that didn't happen. If anything, the boom has got even boomier in football.
No, the supporters, Nathan, only want success on the pitch. They don't really care if the club is 400 million in debt. They want to be winning championship like Ferguson did. You know, Ferguson didn't, now he made the money for the Glaziers. But if you look back on that, the fans turned on the Glaziers because the Glaziers were taking money out of the club. They never turned on Ferguson. Mm. Now at Arsenal, it was the opposite. They didn't turn on the directors. They turned on Wenger. Because that's what he was doing. They chose two different routes when they were both neck and neck at that particular time. Now, I think from a footballing point of view and from his own personal point of view, it was a bad decision, Nathan. Definitely a bad decision. So, because he sacrificed the financial success of the club with their new ground and all that for lack of trophies. And supporters don't want to know about that.
So one big part of the reason then, obviously, was the finances and not being able to go and buy and attract the best players to the club. The other noticeable thing with Wenger in recent times is young players, and they've had so many promising 20, 21-year-old talents who you expect Wenger to bring to the next level, and quite often they've stalled, and maybe someone like Oxlade-Chamberlain's an example, they move to another club, and then they step on again. And I was thinking back to something you talk about a lot, about how footballers should get better as they get older, because you learn from every game. Is that the same for managers, or actually, can you be at a place for too long where it just gets too stale, and while you might still be learning, actually, the players just need a little bit of freshness, that you're not learning enough quick enough, that younger voices are coming in who are starting from a different base?
Yeah, well, I think when he made the change to do what he did, which was to look after the finances of the club, Nathan, he couldn't attract the best players. And the best players he had left. I mean, Fabregas had to go because there was a cap on their wages, a bit like Spurs at the moment, just to get off the subject a little bit. They're going to have a very difficult time to keep the cap on the wages with the top-class players that they've got. Podicino's gone into big, big trouble there. But going back in time, when Wenger was winning trophies, he was neck and neck with Ferguson. But again, if you decide, okay, this is what we're going to do, we're going to look after the finances, we're not going to attract the best players, and the best players you have are going to leave. That's what happened with Arsenal. So he couldn't compete at what he was doing. I mean, he did well to keep them, or to qualify for the Champions League for whatever it was, 18, 20 years, and win a few cups along the way. He actually did very, very well to do that. But it's not good enough when you're competing with Manchester United, who are winning European championships and FA Cups and league titles. He fell behind. But it wasn't a level playing field as far as him and Ferguson were concerned. But that was his choice. And I think he paid the penalty for it in the long run, because I think he should have finished 5 years ago, because they were never going to catch Manchester United.
John, we're going to have to leave it there. Great stuff as always. We'll talk to you next Thursday.
Thanks, Nathan. Bye.
John Giles there with us every Thursday night at 7:30. Arsenal are playing tonight against Atletico Madrid. It's getting underway very shortly at the Emirates. We'll take you a quick break and then we'll bring you up to date with all that.
Football on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.